Good morning. You have your Bibles, if you would please open up to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. That will be our text in just a moment. What a joy it is to be able to gather and to worship with you this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of this worship service. If you're visiting, we'd like for you to know that you are our honored guests, and we're so glad that you chose to be with us today. I'm sorry that Tyler came ill so quickly. It's interesting because he and I were talking just this week about how long it takes a preacher to get a sermon together. And we were both kind of saying that if a preacher doesn't have a sermon in his back pocket, then, you know, what good is he, right? And it reminded me of a story of three preachers talking about how long it takes them to get their sermons together. And the first preacher said, oh, I got to start early on Monday morning. I mean, first thing in the morning, I got to start because I got to have a whole week to get my sermon together. And the second guy looked at him and said, really? He goes, I'm not putting my sermon together till Saturday night. He goes, I'm trying to scare something up right at the last minute. And the third guy is looking at both of them and says, well, what do you guys do during communion? Let's hope that today's sermon has a little bit more prep than just what was available in communion. Thank you so much to those that led our worship this morning. What a blessing you are. And what a joy this week to hear that Kendall and Britton's baby Owen was born. I'm sorry, Wilson was born. I'm so glad that to hear that news and that everybody is well, and keep praying for that family. What a joy. And also, it's time, right? Merry Christmas. It's the holiday season. It's the best time of the year, right? And I pray that this is a special time for you. The church has been celebrating the birth of Christ at this time of year for about 1,700 years. Now, I know that you know, and you know that I know. So we all know that this is not really the birthday of Jesus. But, and you know, I don't think we really need to pull out a birthday cake, and I really don't like that song, Happy Birthday, Jesus. I'm sorry, I just don't. But what a joy it is that at this time of year, the world is focusing on the greatest story that's ever been told, the story of God coming to earth to save us. I mean, what better thing for the world to be considering, even if they don't quite fully understand it, and maybe that can be our job, to fill in the blanks. And to plug in for them the rest of that story through the life that we live. You remember the little thing that we used to do with our hands when we were growing up? I probably should have taken my brace off before trying this morning. But I'd like to ask you to help me out. Because you remember we did this when we were little children. Can you do that with me? Can you make your church? Do you remember doing this? Because when we were little, we did this little hand game. We said, here's the church, remember that? Here's the steeple, and then how did it go? Look inside and see all the people. Man, that's fun to do, isn't it? I mean, I remember getting to do that as a kid, remember getting to do that as a child, and what a joy it is to be able to be a part of a game like, or not a game, but a symbol like that. But maybe I think there might be a little heresy in that. I'm not quite sure. I'm just like, Christmas steeples are actually frowned upon by some. Did you know that? I mean, can you imagine that? Steeples and what they represent, it's kind of interesting. There's a building that's very special to me. I'm hoping that John got the slide. I don't know if he was able. Oh, he got it. That's wonderful. This little church building right here is in Winnie, Texas. My dad preached there for 33 years, and that's pretty much the place where I grew up. Not in this exact building, because the building I grew up in is about a mile and a half up the way, built by hand by Clifford Ware and Eunice Ferris. They swung hammers by hand to build that building. And I remember one Saturday helping Butch put the new doors on the outside of the building because apparently humidity is hard on doors. I mean, who knew? I didn't know that until that time. That particular building was destroyed by Rita. The roof was ripped off, and about 20 inches of rain went right inside that building, and they condemned it, and we could no longer worship there. And how sad and how hard a day that was. So the church decided to go through a rebuilding effort and pull their insurance money, and people from around the country sent money, and even around the world sent in help. It was a joy to see that process. And one of the things, I hope if you ever get the chance to drive through the Winnie Stowell area and look at this building, that you'll think about my mom, because my mom wanted a steeple. It was important to her. She thought the church buildings needed to have steeples. She liked the steeple. And so she was kind of, I mean, people knew that she was spreading that word. And what was really interesting is that some of the checks that came in the fundraising effort actually had in the memo for Alice's steeple, which is pretty funny, because when they actually built the building, like, we better put a steeple on there because we had money designated just for that. And this is the building that was built. It's a beautiful building, but nowhere near as beautiful as the congregation. And it reminds me of home church. It's just brings a lot of good memories. Sometimes going to church, though, if we're all honest, could be a little stressful, right? I mean, sometimes going to church can be stressful. You know, when we're all late, when we're not quite getting things together on time. I know I worried a couple of them today. They'd asked me to preach this morning, and you saw how late we walked in. That had a couple of them going, ah. And then I think about the trip when we were going to church one morning, and my brother... I'm sorry to laugh ahead of time. That's not a bad way to tell a story. But we looked down. My mom looked down halfway to church and looked down, and he's got no socks on. Now, you know, most people would just let that go, but that's not something my mom could let go. And we got to do something about that. You can't go to church without socks. And so we had to stop at a TGNY, which happened to be open, and buy socks for my brother that morning as we were going to church. Sometimes church can be traumatic. You know, a friend of mine who was driving down the road on the way to church one morning, and there was a family of skunks by the side of the road, and the mama skunk had been killed by a car, and the three little baby skunks were kind of running around in circles, not sure what to do. And Dad said, you know, we need to take care of those little skunks or they're going to get run over. And Mama's like, well, why would you do that? They stink. And he goes, no, they don't have their stinkers anymore, or it hasn't been developed yet. They're too young for that. So he stopped and he pulled over and he pulled out a box and he put them in the box and he put them in the trunk and he closed the trunk. Now, as this story was told to me, this is how I picture it. This is how I picture Hollywood doing this story. They would go to a cut scene where you're now behind the car. And the car takes off and starts up down the road and immediately pulls back over and stops. And the doors open up and the trunk opens up and that box comes out, because apparently they do have stinkers when they're young. Sometimes going to church can be treacherous. When I moved to Kansas in 2002 and began preaching for that congregation, it was really interesting because every single person had a story about the blizzard of 1971. Nowadays, we know when it's coming, right? We know when the bad weather is going to be here. We know when it's heading this way. But in 1971, you didn't know. I mean, maybe they knew a day or two in advance, and maybe if you paid attention to the news and they flipped the coin, right? Maybe you knew what was going to happen, but we didn't. They didn't really know. And that blizzard happened as everybody was going to church. And as they were going to church, this huge blizzard hit, and it was so quick and so thick that they didn't make it. Most of them didn't make it, and they were stuck. And these amazing stories. Lawrence Norris was halfway from his farm into Wellington, Kansas, and stopped in front of another house, and he knew the people that lived in that house, and there was no way they were going to get to go any farther. Their car got stuck, and so they just walked up to this house, and the people weren't there, so they just broke in. They knew who lived there, and they weren't there because they got stuck somewhere else. Anyway, it was a really interesting story. Tim Vaughn and his dad walked 7 miles through that blizzard just to go back and make sure that their cattle were safe. Or Iris Whitley, what an amazing story, and what an amazing woman. I miss her so very much. They lived right on I-35, which runs right past Wellington, Kansas, and their farmhouse was just a couple hundred yards off of the exit. And so her husband, went down in the tractor and got people out of cars that were stuck on the turnpike. What a joy for Ernest to be able to save so many people. They ended up in their 900 square foot house with over 35 people stuffed in this house. And they didn't have a lot of food, but they had waffle mix. And all these years later, the kids and everyone remember the summer that 35 people were sharing waffles in their house because of the blizzard. For some, leaving church has an excitement all its own. It can be really painful. My brother-in-law, Andy, poor guy, he was always getting himself hurt. And one particular Sunday, I had preached a sermon about injuries that we had sustained as a family. The funny thing that I did that time was every other story was one of him, because he was always getting hurt. And on that very Sunday, we got back in the car and we're getting back, and he's kind of doing this, and somebody said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, and he didn't want us to know, he didn't want us to tell, but on that very Sunday, going home from church, as he was getting in the car, he shut the door before he got his head all the way in. I don't know how you do that, but apparently he did, and apparently it caused him a lot of pain. Or then the time the family is driving home from church, and the children, the sons are in the back with their sister and decide to roll down the window because it's raining, and mom says, "Roll that window back up, it's raining." So they roll back up, and not 2 minutes later, roll that window back down. And just as mom's getting ready to turn and yell at them, another car splashes water. And I can you just see it, right? You can just see it splashing all over all three children in their nicest Sunday clothes. And then for others, not leaving church can be too much to take. Like that Sunday morning that Charlie Monan's mom went on to lunch and dad went on to lunch, and church's building is getting closed down, and there's little Charlie going, "Where's my mom and dad?" And this is before cell phones, and this is before, and I remember a little 10-year-old boy all panicked because he couldn't go home from church. All these stories represent, I think, the joy and the privilege of getting to go to church. I think they have a little bit of heresy on their own. But I do think they help us understand the importance, maybe, that even through adversity that we try to go to church, we try to make that work. In the book of Philippians, Paul, I think, tries to help us understand the importance of church. As a matter of fact, he places church as the central message of the book. Though we don't think of Philippians, I'm going to be honest, we think of Philippians in a really interesting way. If we're honest with ourselves, it's our bumper sticker book, isn't it? Philippians is our bumper sticker book. You know what I mean? Because think of all the things that you have heard cherry-picked out of this book, like rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Or how about this one? I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. Or I know you've heard this one because my mom told me this one so many times. I think she thought about cross-stitching and hanging it on the wall. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Or who could argue this beautiful thought? Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I mean, a book that's full of this kind of stuff, every single one of those belongs on a bumper sticker or belongs hanging on a wall in a cross stitch. And of course, there's the bumper sticker that ends all bumper stickers. I mean, this is the one that says it all. The one that every senior or most seniors chooses for their favorite verse in the little info, that I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I mean, that's some seriously good stuff. That's worth going to church to hear. There's a lot going on here. The book of Philippians is a fascinating book. I love the literary structure And I don't want to geek out too much, but I want to tell you a cool couple little things. There's a word, I know that you've heard it because I think I've heard Tyler use it, called inclusio. And it's when a word is found at the beginning and at the end of something. This time of year, the most important inclusio in Matthew, which is, of course, Emmanuel. The beginning and at the end of the book of Matthew. I love that. In Philippians, we have a couple that really stand out, like the Greek term koinonia, which means partnership. It's found in chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 4, verse 15. Or this phrase, this think about you, and I'll think about you, and you think about me. I like that, don't you? I like that Paul says that, and he says it in chapter 1, verse 7, and again in 4, verse 10. So he brackets the book with that idea that you and I will think about one another. Or how about this one, conduct yourselves, or think about what we would call our citizenship. And that's found in 1 verse 27 and 3 verse 20. Or this one, and I know you know this one, and this one's really important. This one really ties together, I think, what Paul's trying to do, because ultimately it's about reconciliation. Ultimately, this book of Philippians is about the church coming back together and figuring out what they need to do. And he says in chapter 2 verse 2 and chapter 4 verse 2 to have the same mind. And of course, then he follows that up with a rebuke of Iodia and Syntyche. Oh boy, aren't you glad that you didn't get rebuked in the Bible? Even more powerful is how that then how Paul connects that rebuke to the reason that we're all here today. The centerpiece, the Christ hymn in chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 of Jesus taking on the very nature of a servant and emptying himself and giving himself up for you and me. Today, this is especially helpful because God choosing to save himself by humbling himself and becoming flesh. It's the ultimate story of love. But I think the thesis, I think the heart, it's my opinion, but I think the heart of this book is found in chapter 1, verse 27. If you're there, let's read it together. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. You know, Paul says that we are to be unified in the face of persecution. Paul gives us a job to do, and this is not an individual job. This is not I'll take my stuff and I'll go out and I'll do this on my own. This is you and I working together, one body, one spirit, one fellow. It's us working together in unity so that the word of God is proclaimed. You know, unity, I think, is an interesting thing. Unity is an interesting doctrine. It doesn't mean that we have to agree on every decision. It doesn't mean that the way I see things, need to be done, that you just need to agree with me and then we'll all be happy. It doesn't work that way. Unity is about recognizing that you've got talents and I've got talents and you're better at some things than this person is, and this person is better than this person, and you all are better than I am at this, and us coming together as a group, as a family, as one body. What a beautiful thought. Unity, I think, means this: standing united at the cross, loved by God, saved by the peace-speaking blood of His Son. Folks, we are striving side by side for the sake of the gospel. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before people so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'm fascinated by the fact that when we as a church, when we love like we are supposed to love, that shines forth into the world. And the world sees that love. And what happens in that verse? It's the world that's praising God because of the life that we as a church decide to live. I'm a lifelong member of the Churches of Christ. Going to church has been part of my heritage from day one. There were some rough patches, but this is my home. This is where I belong. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, it's been a unique experience to be sure. And you know what I'm talking about when you go in the world and start talking about church things and all they can talk about is partying on Friday night and it doesn't jive. It doesn't fit together. And when someone is lost or somebody is hurting and they don't have a church, I don't know how they do that. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you can take care of and get through the things in life without the one body and the one spirit. I don't know how that works. I may not like and I may not appreciate everything that happens at church, and I may not like all the decisions that are made, but there are some things that I really do appreciate. I crave our time together. If COVID didn't point out for us how difficult it is to be a Christian and to be alone, how hard that was. And what a joy it is to be able to worship together, to be able to come together and worship. The fellowship, getting to know one another and not just talking about the weather, but getting to know who we really are, getting to know what makes us tick. Oh, and our singing. Oh, how I love to sing. I love to gather and sing with you. Kent, thank you so much for your songs today and for your energy and the joy in leading those songs. And thank you so much, Coleman, for your prayer, because today we get to gather together and petition God as one body and one spirit. I love that we get to do that together. I love that we get to dig into God's word. I mean, can you imagine anything better than being able to, as a fellowship, as a church, learn more about God together and get a little closer each time that we get to dig? It's a joy. Can we revisit the little children's story for a moment? Come on, can you make your churches with me again? But this time, I want to tell you about my third grade Bible teacher, Miss Milligan. We found her picture this week. She didn't like this. She didn't like it at all. And she made sure we knew. She goes, okay, boys and girls, we're gonna fix this. You've learned it wrong, and I'm sorry that somebody taught you wrong, but we're going to teach you the right way. She said, it goes like this. Here's the building. Here's the steeple. Here's the church. It's the people. You see, folks, we don't go to church. We are the church. We don't go home from church. We are the church. And God did not choose to build his church with brick, with stone, with carpet, and sheetrock. Just as God chose to save the world with the flesh and blood of his Son, God now chooses to build the church again with flesh and blood, with the lives of those created in his image. One foundation on his only Son, given in sacrifice that you and I may live together in one body with one spirit, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. No, we can't go to church. We are the church. If you've not been buried with Christ in baptism, or you need the prayers of this church, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.